To discuss the patient safety and risk management aspects of this case, we're joined by surgeon William Berry. Dr. Berry is a surgical consultant for Cryco RMF.
Bill, thank you for joining us. What could have improved the informed consent process in the case?
One of the things that's always worth putting in the discussion is one of the alternatives is not to do anything, to continue with non-medical, non-surgical management in a patient is always an alternative, even if that choice may lead to a high risk of morbidity and mortality, it's still a choice. The real reason for the surgery itself was to stabilize the spine and to prevent further damage to the spinal cord. And certainly the surgery could have been delayed. The blindness as a risk of this particular kind of operation, I think first that we need to understand that the landscape there has changed some, because although this is a rare complication, it is a recognized complication of surgery done in patients in the prone position having operations where there's large blood loss, potentially low hematocrits during the surgery. And the time factor is probably important in terms of how often this complication occurs. It's certainly great in magnitude, and people will disclose it as a risk. That kind of counseling obviously isn't going to change an outcome. But if it does happen, the fact that there was a discussion ahead of time probably helps manage the patient's expectations afterwards, and maybe will prevent a lawsuit from occurring.
When we look at the operation itself, is there a way to consider what went wrong for the patient, more from a perspective of organizing a system to try to prevent a similar outcome for future patients?
This is a very interesting case because there was a clear opportunity in the middle of the case. There was a natural break when the patient was turned to have the other half of the surgery performed. Half the surgery was done from the front, half the surgery was done from the back. So there was a natural pause built in there. And I don't believe, from the way that the record reads anyway, that that pause was taken advantage of fully to reflect a little bit about how much the patient had already gone through and was it reasonable to extend the operation for, you know, another 4 or 5 hours to try and complete it all in one setting. The Joint Commission has mandated a timeout at the beginning of the operation of every surgical procedure, basically. And the reason for that is to give, first, it's also a natural break, but it gives everyone on the operating team a chance to pause and reflect and make sure that it's the right patient and the right procedure and the proper operative site that everybody's working on. To me, it would make sense to have another formal timeout, if you will, in a staged procedure like this that goes on for a considerable period of time. Now, we'll never know for sure if they had stopped the procedure halfway through with the blood loss and the large volume of fluid the patient had received, whether the blindness would have occurred or not. There's just no way of knowing that. But certainly extending the operation and having additional blood loss and a lot more fluid given to the patient was not a positive thing. When you get into these kind of settings, I think you have to remember the surgeon a lot of times performing an operation, and maybe rightly so, believes that his or her perspectives are the most important perspectives on how a surgery is proceeding, but there's multiple people in the operating theater when surgery is performed, and they also have important perspectives that sometimes, for a bunch of different reasons, aren't really considered. Surgery really is a team effort. No surgeon can perform this kind of complex surgery by themselves. and you're not an expert in getting instruments ready, and you're not certainly not an expert in anesthesia when you're standing on the other side of the screen. So the input of everybody on the team is important, and we don't know, because that kind of thing doesn't get recorded in a record, exactly what kind of communication there was over this patient and whether they should continue or not between the anesthesiologist and the surgeon. But that kind of communication in these kind of complex cases is absolutely necessary, and I think in general we don't do it enough.
Thank you. Bill Berry, surgical consultant for Cryco RMF. I'm Tom Augello.